A second chance. 5. According to his association with the material modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the living entity gets a particular type of body. The example of one who associates with the mode of goodness is a qualified Brahmana. Such a Brahmana knows past, present, and future because he consults the Vedic literature and sees through the eyes of scripture, Sastrakaksat. He can understand what his past life was, why he is in the present body, and how he can obtain liberation from the clutches of Maya, and not accept another material body. This is all possible when one is situated in the mode of goodness. Generally, however, the living entities in this material world are engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One who is in the mode of ignorance cannot know what his past life was, or what his next life will be. He is simply interested in his present body. Even though he has a human body, a person in the mode of ignorance, and interested only in his present body, is like an animal. For an animal, being covered by ignorance, thinks that the ultimate goal of life is immediate happiness, to eat and have sex. A human being must be educated to rise above this platform, to understand his past life, and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. There is even a book, called the Bhrigu Samhita, which reveals information about one's past, present, and future lives according to astrological calculations. Somehow or other one must be enlightened about his past, present, and future. One who is interested only in his present body, and who tries to enjoy his senses to the fullest extent, is understood to be engrossed in the mode of ignorance. His future is very, very dark. Indeed, the future is always dark for one who is covered by gross ignorance. Especially in this age, human society is covered by the mode of ignorance, and therefore everyone thinks his present body to be everything, without consideration of the past or future. Chapter 10. The next life, it's up to us. The Yamadutas continued, O best of the demigods, we can see three different varieties of life, which are due to the contamination of the three modes of nature. The living entities are thus known as peaceful, restless, and foolish, as happy, unhappy, or in between, or as religious, irreligious, and semi-religious. We can deduce that in the next life these three kinds of material nature will similarly act. Just as springtime and the present indicates the nature of springtimes in the past and future, so this life of happiness, distress, or a mixture of both gives evidence concerning the religious and irreligious activities of one's past and future lives. The omnipotent Yamaraja is as good as Lord Brahma, for while situated in his own abode, and in everyone's heart like the Paramatma, he mentally observes the past activities of a living entity, and thus understands how the living entity will act in future lives. As a sleeping person acts according to the body manifested in his dreams, and accepts it to be himself, so one identifies with his present body, which he acquired because of his past religious or irreligious actions, and is unable to know his past or future lives, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.46-49, Breaking Free of Past, Present, and Future Karma. Here the Yamadutas point out that the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature are visible in this life. For example, some people are very happy, some are very distressed, and some are in mixed happiness and distress. This is the result of past association with the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Since these varieties are visible in this life, we may assume that the living entities, according to their association with the different modes of material nature, will be happy, distressed, or between the two in their next lives also. Therefore, the best policy is to disassociate oneself from the three modes of material nature and be always transcendental to their contamination. This is possible only when one fully engages in the devotional service of the Lord, as Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Mam kato vyabhakarena bhakti ajina sevat sagunin samaditayatan brahma bhuaya kalpat. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Unless one is fully absorbed in the service of the Lord, one will be subjected to the contamination of the three modes of material nature, and must therefore experience distress, or mixed happiness and distress, depending on the severity of one's sinful activities. Changing bodies. The Supreme Lord has appointed Yamaraja to decide the proper punishment for those who perform sinful activities. Thus at death each being is awarded a particular body in a particular place, according to his work. As Lord Kapila explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.31.1, Karmana Devanatrina, Jantar Dehipapate, Striya Pravista Uterum, Pumso Ratakanasraya. Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, and according to the result of his work, the living entity, the soul, is made to enter the womb of a woman through the particle of male semen, to assume a particular type of body. We are changing our bodies every day, at every moment. It is called growth, but actually it is a change of body. Growing means leaving the old body and accepting a new body. After some years we can see that a child has grown to boyhood, then to youth. That means he has changed his body. Similarly, when we find that the body is no longer inhabitable, we have to give it up and accept another body, just as we have to give up our clothes when they become old and worn. This change is executed under the supervision of higher authorities, Devanatrina. According to one's religious and irreligious acts, one has to accept a particular type of body in a particular position and suffer. Our sufferings are classified as adhyatmika, adhyatmika, and adhidevika. Adhyatmika miseries are those caused by our own bodies and minds. Adhibhautika miseries are those inflicted by other living entities, and adhidevika miseries are those which are inflicted by higher authorities, devas, and which are completely beyond our control, such as earthquake, drought, flood, and famine. We cannot adjust these situations. In the same way, after death, superior authorities will offer us a certain type of body, and we cannot say, "Oh no, sir, I do not want this body." We have to accept it. Minute independence. Due to repeated birth and death in so many material bodies, we have all forgotten that we are part and parcel of God, that we have an intimate relationship with Him, and that somehow or other we have fallen into this material world. It is very difficult to exactly pinpoint the origin of this forgetfulness. But even though we have forgotten Him since time immemorial, Krishna is so merciful that to remind us of our spiritual identity and our oneness with Him as His parts, He comes personally and teaches us what we have forgotten. And when He departs, He leaves behind the scripture, especially the Bhagavad Gita, where He requests, "Sarva Dharman Paritayajayamam Ekam Saranam Vraja," "Please give up all your nonsense and surrender unto me. I shall give you all protection." Bhagavad Gita 18.66. Krishna is the father of all living entities. He is not happy that all these souls in the material world are rotting like hogs. Therefore, He sends His representatives. In the case of Lord Jesus Christ, Krishna sent His Son. Lord Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Everyone is the Son of God, but this Son was an especially favored Son, and He was sent to a particular place to reclaim the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. But if the conditioned souls insist on staying here, what can Krishna or His servant do? They allow us to go on with our materialistic activities, because the first condition for getting out of the material prison house is that we must desire to get out. When we finally become disgusted with our predicament, we pray, "My dear Lord, I have served lust, anger, and greed for so long, but they are still unsatisfied. And now I have become disgusted with serving them. Now, my dear Lord Krishna, my intelligence is awakened, and I have come to you. Please engage me in your service." The living entity is the marginal energy to test the Sakti of the Lord, which means he can choose to be controlled by Krishna's inferior material energy or his superior spiritual energy. We devotees have chosen to come to Krishna consciousness. In other words, we have agreed to surrender to Krishna and submit to the protection of his internal spiritual energy. Surrender to Krishna begins with chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." The word Hare indicates the devotional energy of Krishna. Krishna means the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Rama means the Supreme Enjoyer. But there are many who will not come, because they do not agree to come under the control of Krishna's spiritual energy. But Krishna does not interfere. He says, "You may remain in the material world, or come to me, whatever you like." We have been given minute independence and the intelligence to discriminate between what to do and what not to do. Wake up. The ear is the most important organ for learning what is to be done and what is not to be done for our ultimate benefit. We must hear from the superior authority. At night we sleep peacefully, unaware that someone might be coming to chop off our head. However, our sense of hearing is acute, even in the sleeping state. If someone cries out, "Wake up! Wake up! Someone is coming to kill you," we can be saved. Similarly, we are sleeping under the influence of material nature. We seem to be awake and acting, but Prakriti, material nature, is doing the acting, not us. We are being forced to act according to our association with the different modes of material nature. Although we are in the sleeping condition, our ear does not sleep, and it helps us to rise out of ignorance. If we hear from the right person, the spiritual master, and from the Vedic scriptures, we can awaken to our original, constitutional position as eternal servants of Krishna. The first prescription is sravanam, hearing about Krishna. If we simply hear about Krishna, we will automatically wake up. The injunction of the Vedas is it is that a jagrata prapaya varnit badhita, wake up. Get up. Understand the great benediction you have in this human form of life. Now utilize it, and get free from the clutches of the material modes of nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, 7.14, Krishna explains how to do this. Devi hai isa guname, mamamaya jaratiye, mam evayuprapadayant, mayam etam tirandited. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered to me can easily cross beyond it. Surrender to Krishna, and be Krishna conscious. In the human form of life, that is our only business. Chapter 11. The realm of the senses. The Yamadutas continued, above the five senses of perception, the five working senses, and the five objects of the senses is the mind, which is the 16th element. Above the mind is the 17th element, the soul, the living being himself, who, in cooperation with the other 16, enjoys the material world alone. The living being experiences three kinds of situations, namely happy, distressful, and mixed. The subtle body is endowed with 16 parts, the five knowledge-acquiring senses, the five working senses, the five objects of sense gratification, and the mind. This subtle body is an effect of the three modes of material nature. It is composed of insurmountably strong desires, and therefore it causes the living entity to transmigrate from one body to another in human life, animal life, and life as a demigod. When the living entity gets the body of a demigod, he is certainly very jubilant. When he gets a human body, he is always in lamentation, and when he gets the body of an animal, he is always afraid. In all conditions, however, he is actually miserable. His miserable condition is called samsriti, or transmigration in material life. The foolish embodied living entity, inept at controlling his senses and mind, is forced to act according to the influence of the modes of material nature, even against his desires. He is like a silkworm that uses its own saliva to create a cocoon, and then becomes trapped in it, with no possibility of getting out. The living entity traps himself in a network of his own fruitive activities, and then can find no way to release himself. Thus he is always bewildered, and repeatedly he dies. No living entity can remain unengaged, even for a moment. One must act by his natural tendency according to the three modes of material nature, because this tendency forcibly makes him work in a particular way. The fruitive acts a living being performs, whether pious or impious, are the unseen cause for the fulfillment of his desires. This unseen cause is the root of the living entity's different bodies. Because of his intense desire, the living entity takes birth in a particular family, and receives a body like his mother's or father's body. Thus the gross and subtle bodies are created according to his desire. Since the living entity is associated with material nature, he is in an awkward position, but if in the human form of life he is taught how to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his divinity, this position can be overcome. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.50-55. The demands of the senses. These verses describe how the living entity becomes entangled in the material body due to the interaction of the material modes of nature. Everyone engages in work with his hands, legs, and other senses, just to achieve a certain goal according to his concocted ideas. In this way one tries to enjoy the five sense objects, namely form, sound, taste, aroma, and touch, not knowing that the actual goal of life is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Because of disobeying the Lord, the living entity is put into material conditions, and he then tries to improve his situation according to his whims, not caring to follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nevertheless, the Supreme Lord is so kind that he comes himself to instruct the bewildered living entity how to act obediently, and then gradually return home, back to Godhead, where he can attain an eternal, peaceful life of bliss and knowledge. In the material world, the living entity has a body that is a very complicated combination of the material elements, and with this body he struggles alone, as indicated in verse 50 by the words Ekas 2. For example, if one is struggling in the ocean, he must swim through it alone. Although many other men and aquatics are swimming in the ocean, he must take care of himself, because no one else will help him. Therefore this verse indicates that the 17th item, the soul, must work alone. Although he tries to create society, friendship, and love, ultimately no one can help him but Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Therefore his only concern should be how to satisfy Krishna, how to surrender to him, and evoke his mercy. That is also what Krishna wants. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, 18.66, Sarva Dharman Paritayajayamam Ekam Saranam Vraja, Just give up all kinds of concocted religion and surrender to me. People bewildered by material conditions try to be united, but although they strive for unity among men and nations, all their attempts are futile. Everyone must struggle alone for existence with the many elements of nature. Therefore, one's only hope, as Krishna advises, is to surrender to him, for he can help one become free from the ocean of nations. Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu therefore prayed, Anandatanuja Kinkaram, Patitamam Visambhavam Budha, Kripayatavapadapankanja, Sivadyuli Sadrasam Vasinte. O Krishna, beloved son of Nanda Maharaja, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of nations, and although I'm struggling very hard, there is no way I can save myself. If you kindly pick me up, and fix me as one of the particles of dust at your lotus feet, that will save me. Similarly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura sings, Anadi Karama Fail, Paddy Bhavarna Vajail, Taral Bernadekiapaya. My dear Lord, I cannot remember when I somehow or other fell into this ocean of nations, and now I can find no way to rescue myself. We should remember that everyone is responsible for his own life. If an individual becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, he is then delivered from the ocean of nations. Thus his life becomes successful. Pain and pleasure. Actually, there is no pleasure in the material world. Everything is painful. Everyone is trying to be happy by sensual activity, but the result is unhappiness and frustration. This is called Maya, illusion. Lord Buddha understood the nature of material pleasure. In his youth he was a prince, enjoying great opulence and sensual pleasures, but he renounced it all. Sitting down in meditation, he stopped all sensual activities, which subject one to the pains and pleasures of this material world. He gave up his kingdom, just to teach that sensual activities do not help us attain salvation. Salvation means to get out of the clutches of the pleasure and pain of this world. Buddhism is concerned largely with the predicament of the body. Due to the interactions of the three modes of material nature, which are acting on our material bodies, we experience various pains and pleasures. Buddhism teaches that one can be relieved of these pains and pleasures as soon as one dismantles the combination of the material elements in the shape of the physical body. Nirvana, the goal of Buddhism, is the state attained when a person has finished with the material combinations. After all, pains and pleasures are due to possessing this material body. However, Buddhist philosophy does not provide information about the soul, the possessor of the body. Thus, Buddhism is imperfect. Buddhist philosophy is incomplete, but that does not mean Lord Buddha did not know the complete truth. A teacher may have received his master's degree, yet he still teaches the ABCs to his students. It is not that his knowledge is limited to the ABCs. Similarly, any especially empowered incarnation, Saktaya Visavatara, will preach God consciousness according to time, place, and circumstances. The teacher holds his master's degree, But the students may not be qualified to receive the HA instructions that the teacher is competent to teach. Therefore, there are different schools of religion, like Buddhism and Sankaracharya's Mayavada philosophy. Both the Buddhists and the Mayavadas encourage their followers to try to get free of pain and pleasure, which are due to sensual activities. No genuine philosopher urges his followers to pursue sensual activities. Buddha finishes with matter. To achieve nirvana, one must first dismantle the material combination of the body. In other words, the body is a combination of five material elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And this combination is the cause of all pain and pleasure. So when the combination is at last dismantled, there will be no more pain and pleasure. Sankaracharya's philosophy is to get out of this combination of material elements and become situated in our original, spiritual position. Thus the Mayavada's motto is Brahmasatyam Jagannathaya, Brahman, the Absolute, is true, and this material creation is false. Sankaracharya rejected Buddhist philosophy, which gives no information concerning the spirit soul. Buddhist philosophy deals only with matter and the dissolution of matter. Thus the goal of Buddhism is to merge into the voidness. Both Buddhism and Mayavada philosophy reveal only partial truth. Sankaracharya's Mayavada philosophy accepts Brahman, spirit, but does not describe spirit in its fullness. Mayavada philosophy teaches that, as soon as we become cognizant of our existence as Brahman, Atam Brahmasmi, then all our activities come to a stop. But this is not a fact. The living entity is always active. It may seem that in meditation one can stop all sensual activity, but still one is meditating, and that is also action.